Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor, psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to discuss something I know I've never brought up before, and this is because this has never happened before, but I think it's very significant, and it's in a lot of ways, it's a good thing, but I could see how if you're not aware where it's coming from, because at first I was not aware where this was coming from. If you're not aware where it can be, what it's rooted in, or why it's coming from a change you've made in your life, it may seem like sadness. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, well, if I've been happier lately, why would I be sad? And the thing is, it's not sadness that I'm about to experience, it's grieving. And there's a big difference between grieving something because you've made a change in your life and sadness. So I want to talk about first how I got to this and what this means. And so I told you guys about 5 weeks ago or so, maybe a month and a half now, I came across doing my what I call the cure for boredom. And I think it is. I'm going shelf by shelf and reading the books and doing all those things. And I came across a book called The Novel Cure. And in that book, I was trying to find my key trigger, which is feelings of incompetence. And I've told you guys, my key trigger comes from a lot of things. It definitely relates to complex PTSD. But it's when you can't figure things out. And a lot of that stems back to when I was stressed as a kid and as a teenager, and I wasn't able to get information into my long-term memory. That stress was messing everything up. It was messing up my ability to think more critically and to think more rationally. And it was just hijacking my brain, stress. Particularly when your brain's developing. And so if you feel like you can't learn or things aren't sticking in your head and you don't know it's because of stress, you don't know that there is a way to learn differently and get things into your long-term memory, which I later learned in college in a class called College Success Skills. I learned how to actually remember things. And it was just such a blessing to have that class. But a lot of that ended up being a trigger, which is what I call feelings of incompetence, that learning struggle. And so whenever I was looking through this book, The Novel Cure, I wanted to find that word, incompetence. It wasn't in there anywhere as an ailment in the book. So the book basically has ailments, anything you struggle with, like emotionally or just a hang-up you might have. And then it shows you what that ailment might actually be connected to. And so when I was looking for incompetence, they had things like feeling like an idiot, feeling like a failure. And under feeling like a failure, it said, look up in that same book, it said to look up a low self-esteem. And that's what I did. And that's really what the issue was low self-esteem. So then I was able to fix the problem once I knew what the issue was. And so I've been doing the confidence building through engaging with a hobby that genuinely makes me happy, which is coin collecting. So I've been watching a show and reading magazines about coin collecting. And that's my genuine number one hobby, that's what it would be. And I had to kind of be reminded of that. Like I had to remind myself, what is it that genuinely makes me happy? Or that I enjoy, just one thing. I probably have other hobbies too, but this is one that I can actively engage with at home through magazines from the library, through TV shows on TV. It's not something I have to something I have to go outside my home to do. It's something I can do at home. So I'm starting to re-engage myself with it. Because I used to do it when I was younger and I always liked it, but I saw it differently then, because I've told you guys I saw it more as like a money thing rather than a hobby thing. I saw it more for the actual money that it was worth versus the actual value. like studying it through like history, a historical way of looking at coin collecting. And that's one of my jobs. I work in the field of history. So that's more of how I look at it now. Because when I was younger, I just saw it as how much is this worth financially? And that's not how you should look at something like that. But I wanted to talk about something really specific, and that is something I know I've never discussed before, and it relates to this confidence building, because I've become happier. I've been happier in the last month ever since I realized what the problem was. It was low self-esteem, and what to do about it, which is confidence building through a hobby that makes you happy. And so since I've been happier, I've noticed in the last week or so that for whatever reason, I can kind of feel that I want to cry about something. And I haven't cried in probably 15 years. When I say cry, I mean like actually grieve something. I just don't cry very often unless I'm laughing. If I'm laughing at something and it's super hysterical, I will cry. I'll cry laughing. But when it comes to grieving something, I think honestly, even before the event happened, which was when I was 35 in 2017, when that event happened, that was very shocking. And I don't think I cried about it. I think I just wanted to get the hell away from it. I was freaked out. And I was just stunned. I was shocked. I was stunned. And that's what I call the event. And the event is what led to me eventually being diagnosed with complex PTSD, because I could finally share everything that a therapist needed to hear that would make sense. And she'd be able to say, well, you have complex PTSD. This event was just the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Or this event showed you how bad things really were for all these years. You know, these people's response to this event is what showed it to you. But this has been going on my whole life. And that's why it's long-term trauma, right? So anyway, building my confidence recently, and again, I haven't cried. I don't think I've really even cried. Last time, probably in my 20s. You know, I don't know, maybe, I don't even know when it would have been. It's been a while. Let's just put it that way. If something is like super, super sad, I'm trying to guess. The last time I probably cried, it would have been something extremely sad, probably in my mid or early 20s. And I'm trying to think of what it would have even been. It could have even been like a movie that really got to me in some specific way. And I don't even know what it would have been. But lately I've just been feeling like there's something coming up in me that is going to make me want to cry. And I'm like, why is this? Because I've been happier lately, right? So it wouldn't make sense that I would be sad. And I had to really think about it. And I'm like, I don't think it's sadness. I think this is grieving. And I think what it is me, I'm about to grieve the fact that this low self-esteem thing was playing a much bigger role in my life than I ever knew. And also, I would say me being critical of myself, that would be another part of it. And me saying I struggle with low self-esteem, by the way, is not me being critical of myself. That's me realizing what this was, because I could see how people would think that. But it's me realizing, oh my gosh, all along I could have been doing something to fix this, to fix this low self-esteem. But no therapist is ever going to say to you, you're struggling with low self-esteem. Nobody ever said that to me. And no therapist is ever going to say that. They're never going to say, well, you know what, Bonnie, I'm diagnosing you with low self-esteem. Because one, I don't think that's a diagnosis. And two, they're just never going to say that. They're never going to say, you've got low self-esteem. They might say, let's do some confidence building, or let's do something to make you feel good about yourself. But they're not just going to say to you, you're really struggling with low self-esteem here, and I kind of wish that they would. I wish they would say it, because then we would know why we're doing confidence building, why we're going to do things to make us feel better. Because like I've said, I'm someone who used to be very oblivious. And if you don't come out and just say it to my face, what we're actually dealing with here, I'm not going to know. I'm not going to know what the problem is. You have to say it to me. Like, you have to say it to my face, what the actual issue is here. And then I can know, oh, that's why we're doing confidence building, or that's why we're doing, exercises to make Ben feel better, to make myself feel better. That's why we're doing this. Like, you have to just say it. I have to, like, literally hear you say, this is why we are doing this. You can't just say, this is what we're going to go do. Because otherwise, I'm like, well, I went to a therapy session today, and they told me I need to do this. But the sentence hasn't been finished, right? We're going to do this because you're dealing with low self-esteem. Like, they need to actually say it. They need to say it. And I've told you guys before that obliviousness that I dealt with for a very long time, even up until just the last year, I didn't know, but it makes perfect sense because I Googled it. I Googled what is obliviousness. And it led me to other words, which made way more sense. Obliviousness is a feature of ignorance. And so again, there's another thing, low self-esteem and ignorance. I was dealing with ignorance and I didn't know it. And it makes sense. And this is why it's so important to use that word. It makes sense because if you look at when somebody is enabling an abuser, so when I was growing up, there was the abuser and the enabler. The enabler is in a lot of denial. And that denial is a feature of ignorance because they're basically lying. Whoever's in denial, they're lying to themselves and they're lying to other people, and lying is ignorant. So it's a feature of ignorance when someone's in denial. And that's why, by the way, it can be so hard to help somebody like that when they're also the victim of the abuser and they're in denial because they're lying. They are lying to the therapist or to whoever's trying to help them. They're not going to admit that something's wrong. They're in denial. So it's almost like you can't help them because they're lying. It's like you're trying to solve a crime and you have five people who know exactly what happened, but they're all lying because they were doing something they shouldn't have been doing that was part of the crime, even though they didn't commit the crime. Maybe they were using some substance that's illegal and they're like, oh God, we can't admit that. We'll get busted. So they lie. It's the same kind of thing. You can't solve the crime if people are going to lie to you. And if everybody's lying, that crime's probably going to be a cold case. Because people are lying to cover their butts. But it's the same thing. Denial and obliviousness are rooted in ignorance. And that's just true. That's just true. And whenever I saw that, my first thought was ignorance. You know, my first thought was low self-esteem. Like I never would have thought those things. But when you see them and you know what the problem is, then you can deal with it. And you can kind of see examples of how it's true. It's kind of like when a narcissist, when certain people have certain behaviors, and it's like, is that a narcissist? Is that a bully? Is that this? Is that that? The only thing you need to know is it bad manners? Because bad manners will show you, bad manners are a sign. They're a sign of to stay away from somebody. And the more you start to see it that way, trust me, the more people you'll notice have bad manners, and it's a red flag. I'm not saying you should always stay away from them. I'm just saying there's something that maybe the way they were raised, maybe just their beliefs about people, it just shows that they have less respect for other people when somebody has bad manners. And I've seen that more now. So rather than, you know, trying to figure out what's this guy's deal, why is he like this? If he has bad manners, if he's being disrespectful, I mean, you can kind of sum it up that way, but bad manners, I'll just know I don't want to be around that person, right? I'm not going to try to figure him out. But getting back to the grieving thing, I think the grieving is coming from the fact that some of these things I finally realized or figured out, And it just took some time. And it's interesting, it all kind of happened together. But I'm glad it happened together. Because the sooner you can figure out what's wrong, the faster you can deal with it. And I think that's where the grieving is coming from, is I figured out how to solve the problem. And I figured out, you know, what to do about it. And, excuse me, I figured out what to do about it. And so now I'm like looking back and I'm thinking, man, if I had known this when I was 20, man, if I had known this when I was 30, you know, I'm 42 now. Like, if I had only known that this is the solution, it's right here, I could have been happier sooner. You know, I could have known these things sooner. But, you know, you don't want to live in the past or have regret or anything like that. But I think it's literally my body is wanting to grieve and just get it out and just kind of move forward. It's kind of like why it's so important to acknowledge, you know, maybe a death in the family that you don't want to acknowledge and go to the gravesite and actually cry. Because you need to grieve, and it's going to help you be a whole person again. Like, you need to get that out. And so for me, I can tell it's coming. I don't know when it's going to come, but I just notice occasionally, I just feel like something's about to happen, and I'm about to cry or something. It hasn't happened yet, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but if it'll be daytime, nighttime, I feel like it's probably going to be at nighttime. Because that's when I've noticed there's something just sort of popping up in me, and I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's, I'm about to grieve, and it's a good grieving, because it's like, my God, I'm finally over this stuff that has really held me back for so long. You know, it's a really big deal. And again, I haven't cried. I don't think I've cried. I'm just going to guess probably since I was 21 years old, maybe 20. I mean, that's over 20 years. And I really don't think I have. Again, unless there was some movie that was just so sad, it made me cry. And I don't even know what that would be. I don't even know what movie that would be. But I just wanted to share that because, again, it's a good thing. And it's good to know what it is. It's not a sign of sadness. Because I kept thinking, well, that doesn't even make sense because I've been happier. So why would I be sad? It's grieving. So I'm about to grieve. So I just wanted to share that. I've never experienced this before. I think it's also a fact that my feelings are not shut off. Because my feelings were shut off for, I would say, about 5 or 6 years. From like the age of 35 to really 41. I turned 42 in February. But really, 35 to 41, so 6 years, I would say my feelings were definitely shut off. Even though I was talking about my feelings on here, my actual feelings, you know, that's more just me thinking about everything and talking about it on a podcast. But my actual feelings, like being able to feel like I could open up and feeling like it makes more sense to finally be in a relationship. Like, why wouldn't I be in a relationship? And in the past, I used to always immediately cut that off with a million excuses or a million second guessing. And I notice I just don't do that anymore. And I do think it's the cure for boredom mixed with this solution for low self-esteem. The cure to get happy is what it is. It's those two things combined. They've just changed something in me. So it's a good thing. And that's all. This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.